Father God in heaven, thank you for your people who come this Sabbath. Thank you for the special communion Sabbath that we have. It reminds us the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have for your second coming. As we meditate on your word, we ask you, Lord, to speak in us, through us, in spite of us, and touch the hearing of your people this Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the privileges I had when I went to Jordan to serve as a chaplain in the military, I visited the city of Petra. City of Petra is one of the world attractions. All tourists all over the world who love to go to Petra and look at the architects, the ancient engineering discovered in the city of Petra. So I had the opportunity to see that city. What amazing about that is the story of how Petra was rediscovered. Petra means the great treasure. Petra was one of the popular city in the Middle East, and it's a center of trades between Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq, or Babylonians back then, and Persia. And then Romans occupied Petra in the first century. There were evidence Christians used to live in the city of Petra. And then during the Crusaders, the Muslim country took control of the city of Petra, and the Western world did not have the last, didn't hear from Petra since then. Until the Swiss explorer rediscovered Petra in 1812. His name was Jean-Louis Burckhardt. What he did, he disguised himself, he grew a beard, he learned the language, the Arab language, he studied the Muslim religion, and then he took a pilgrimage to the city of Petra. On his way, he started to take notes, and then he drew maps onto the undergarments of his clothing. When he returned, he started to write poems about it and about the treasure. And he drew the attention of the world about the lost city of Petra. And they discovered the enormous history of ancient society that was in Petra. Jean-Louis Burckhardt disguised himself as an Arab pilgrimage. He learned the language, lived with the people there, and he drew the attention of the world to the lost city of Petra. My friend, this morning, the evangelist John in the fourth gospel pointed out the ultimate purpose of the Word became flesh was that for Jesus to reveal the glory of the Father through suffering on the cross. Isn't that beautiful? The writing of John draw the attention of the world to rediscover the purpose of the Word became flesh by suffering on the cross in Calvary for a special reason. If you have your Bible with you, turn to chapter 1, verse 14 to verse 18. I will read it for us because that's where the sermon is for our communion service this morning. First chapter, book of John, chapter 14 to 18. I will read it for us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only one and the only, who is at the right side, has made Him known. So John reminds us this morning, the ultimate purpose of the Word became flesh is to reveal the fullness of God's grace through suffering on the cross. What is grace, by the way? Well, the grace, as we learn and we know about it, is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is the undeserved love of God to the world of sinners. We can never earn it. We can never try to buy it. It's a free gift of God. For by grace we are saved through faith in the life of Jesus Christ. That is grace. At 2 a.m. in the morning, a young boy of 4 years old, Jason, woke up because of the smell in his room, the smoke. He started calling, "Daddy!" All of a sudden, his father rushed him. Not only he picked up Jason, but he scooped up his 2 years old younger brother. They dashed down the stairways. Jason remembered that he has a stuffed animal on his bed. Somehow, Daddy loosed hold of him, but Jason made his way upstairs. Daddy called him to come back, but Jason keep running into the room, not to risk the life of the young son, 2 years old. The father went outside and tried. He looked up. There was Jason by the open window of his room, and he called out, "Jason, just jump. I will catch you." The boy cried, "Daddy, I can't. Daddy, I can't." The father cried, "Jason, jump, I will catch you." "But Daddy, I can't because I cannot see you." Father insisted, "Jason, jump. Don't worry, because I can see you and I will catch you." Sometimes we overwhelm with troubles of our life, suffering and depressions enable us to see God. But the point is, we have a God who can seize us, extend His loving hands to call us, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is grace. That is grace. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How does Jesus reveal the fullness of God's grace? It's interesting, in the beginning of verse 14, Jesus, John wrote down that the Word became flesh, and the end of the statement, He dwells among us. I look at what does the dwell means in the original language. It says to pitch a tent, to build a tabernacle. To dwell means it is a dwelling, a lodging place, a dwelling place. It makes reference to the ancient tabernacle in the wilderness, where the Israelites pitched the tent, the worship tabernacle of worship, and God will come down to dwell among His people. So you know the sanctuary teachings about grace. That's where the sinners will come and bring a lamb into the sanctuary, slaughter a lamb, and where God dwells among His people, He made provisions for the forgiveness of sin. That is grace. That is the fullness of God's grace revealed in the life of Jesus Christ. My friends, this morning, John appeals that you and I are the sanctuary, and Christ need to dwell in your heart and in my heart in order for us, for God to make provisions for the forgiveness of sins. We are the sanctuary, temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to dwell in your life and in my life so we can experience the fullness of God's grace. That's what communion is all about. To experience the Word became flesh. Without the Word became flesh, we wouldn't have the opportunity to celebrate the revealing of the glory of God in the life of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, Jean-Louis Burckhardt disguised himself as an Arab pilgrimage. He learned the language. He grew his beard. He put his turban over. He learned the Muslim culture. And all of that, he was able to draw the world to the lost city of Petra. But my friend, this morning, Jesus took the form of a man. He lowered himself a little lower than angels in the appearance of a man, being made in a human likeness, being found in appearance of a man, humbled himself and become obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's what communion is all about. It's the humility of Christ. Before we partake of the communion, it was wisely designed that we have to enter through the foot washing ceremony. It's a symbol, it's a demonstration of how can we humble ourselves and reach out to be a servant to one another. The fullness of God's grace, it will humble ourselves. Just like Jesus Christ, he left heaven his glory, but just to come in our human family to be counted as one of us. How does Jesus reveal the fullness of God's grace? At the end of verse 14, it reads, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." When John talks about the revealings of God's glory, he makes reference to Jesus' death on the cross as the glory of God has been revealed. When Jesus makes reference to the glory of God, he points out that Jesus suffered on the cross to reveal the victorious, the glorious of God's love. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 12, verse 23, John really bring out that thought. To reveal the glory of the Father is to go through the suffering and the great sacrifice. John chapter 12, 23 and 24. I will read it for us as you look at your scripture. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." We need to go through trials, suffering, in order for us to experience the glorious of God. Before the cross, before the ground stand the cross, before we come to the ground that promise from our Savior, we have to carry our cross. That's how we, Jesus, revealed the fullness of God's grace through suffering on the cross. A great sacrifice. Great sacrifice. Verse 27 and 28. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. We must willingly accept in our hearts to experience the fullness of God's grace. He prepares us to go through a great sacrifice. Jesus pointed out that the glory of God is revealed through his death. When John the Baptist saw Jesus came to him to be baptized, chapter 1:29, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's the glory of God has been revealed. Jesus came purposely to die a sacrifice once and for all for you and for me. Jesus, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. And remember, a sinner would bring a lamb to the tabernacle to be slaughtered for the forgiveness of sins. And the scripture says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's why communion is a center of our worship and our commitment to the Lord. It's a demonstration of the life, the suffering, the cross, the resurrection, and the promise that Jesus will come back to take us to his glorious, because he already go through the suffering of the cross. For us to experience the fullness of God's grace, we must allow your heart and my heart to become a temple, a sanctuary, to accommodate the presence of the Holy Spirit. That we may experience the fullness of God's grace, because he made provisions for our forgiveness. And also, to glorify God through a sacrifice that we can make for him through suffering with Christ. Sufferings, it enhance our faith in Christ. Sometimes we, as a human nature, we complain, God, why? It's overwhelming. But wait a moment and look back. Those are the moments you become too dependent on God's grace. He will carry us through suffering. We'll be able to see clearly the beauty and the glory of God as it manifested on the cross of Jesus Christ. My family, this morning, as we prepare our hearts for the communion, let us remember those two points, that you and I is called the tabernacles of God, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. For us to see the glory of God, we must accept. We have to go through suffering just like Jesus Christ. That he went through suffering. He endured sufferings because he was looking forward for the glorious reward from his life, and then keep provide an opportunity for us to be with him forever. And the promise of the Bible says, when he comes again, he will put an end to all the suffering and all the tears and all the troubles. But as for now, pain will help us to grow in faith and to appreciate the glories of God the Father. As we meditate on those words, I would like to invite you to search your hearts. Search your hearts for a room for the Holy Spirit to rest in your heart. Because that what the real meaning of the foot washing is, to humble ourselves as the Holy Spirit works in us to make right with your neighbor, with your friend, in order for us to be ready to accept the life and the blood that was shed on the cross for us. We'll be separated to our foot washing service. The greater role is prepared for all the men. I believe the kindergarten is for the ladies. So on the right side of that building over there, all the ladies will be at the kindergarten. The couples, there's a place reserved and prepared for the couples at the fellowship hall. Let us pray as we continue our celebrations of the life, the fullness of God's grace through the foot washing, and then we come back again for our Lord's Supper. Father God in heaven, thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you for becoming a man. That's a sign of great humility. Teach us how to humble ourselves, that we may stand together as one another to serve you and to serve others according to your will. Bless us this Sabbath as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That the children will